review of communications for the Amelia Earhart case. This is tape number two, side number two, and tape number 2B of the Leo Bellarts tapes, and we're interviewing Leo Bellarts and reviewing his tapes now.
A personal history, let's put it that way, that will go in with it. And actually, I don't think one or two things should be ever published as long as there's anybody alive that was ever on that ship. Rather of a... There's no reflection on the officers or directly, you know, but it would be embarrassing, let's put it that way.
After Leo's death, I checked with his sons, and he never did make up any tapes. So what it was, what the mistakes were that he didn't want to relate, I guess, from Leo, unless we find something that's has never come out since his death, why... I don't know if we'll ever know what it was he was going to try and say. Okay, that's the end of side number two. That's the end of tape two completely. So now we'll go to tape three, Leo G. Bellarts. It'll be tape 3A, the interview with Leo Bellarts that was done on... April the 11th, 1973. This is tape number three, side A.
In the case of Gerner's going to Saipan, he thought he was onto something because as soon as he found out he had to go through the Navy to get there, and he asked the Navy for transportation to Saipan, and immediately there was FBI, CIA, and Navy intelligence and everything there because there was a very sensitive secret base on Saipan that nobody knew anything about. Well, Gerner misunderstood at that time, thinking that he was onto this Amelia Earhart thing is what they were trying to keep a secret about. Well, that wasn't it at all. Saipan's a small island. They know a reporter get on there, but Louis, he's gonna find out about that base, which he eventually did. They finally told him about it and showed it to him, and that was the end of that. But that's how he felt that somebody was being super secretive. But this boils back to the preparation of these reports and everything to do with the communications, the logs, and everything else, and everybody involved. Everybody would have to be in on it. If Amelia Earhart wasn't anywhere near Howland Island, all this would have had to been put together, and logic will tell any observer it's just impossible for all these people to go to their graves and never admit the big super secret when there was no reason for a secret in the first place.
Well, if you take a chart of that area, and look at Lay, New Guinea, Howland Island is at, and where Saipan is at, and check on how many miles it is from Lay, New Guinea, the time of the advancement, I'd say, of aerial photography in them days, 1937. I don't think they had these infrared cameras at that time.
No, they didn't.
When Amelia Earhart left, where was she at? And where was she at in daytime? It's a physical impossibility that she was on a cloak and dagger thing. Because she would be flying over Saipan, Truk, or any other island over there at night. And you, in them days, you didn't take pictures. At least I don't think you did at night. And when it was daylight, she was practically out... Well, east of the Gilberts, actually, so to speak. Incidentally, did you ever see that?
Amelia Earhart, a A. Yeah. Now, she asked you to send a series of A's, didn't she?
No, that was in our preliminary report. You see, this was made up actually for the Shoshone originally. The Shoshone was supposed to go down there originally, and then there was a accident, I believe, on wherever it was, and then they turned it around, and she went around the other way. Well, we just substituted Itasca for Shoshone, and actually those reports or requests was made long before we even left, and they supplied us with all that written information at Honolulu when we got there.
Oh, I see.
See? And we were supposed to send these A's for her identification. And I think, what was it, the Ontario and Swan, they were supposed to send out signals too.
Yeah, the Ontario was supposed to send out N's on 400 kilocycles.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
You know, there was a, she wanted you to transmit on 7,500 kilocycles. She wanted the Ontario to send on, Ontario to send on 400 kilocycles. She wanted the Swan to send on 9,000 kilocycles or 900 kilocycles if 9,000 wasn't working properly. And
900 kilocycles.
9,000 or 900. Now, there's a certain logic to it. It's bad, but there's a certain logic to it. She knew she was going to be flying over the Ontario at night, so she said 400 kilocycles for the Ontario. She knew...
Also, the Ontario couldn't transmit on any high frequency either. It only had the low frequency transmitter. She had been told that.
It was going to be coming into you in the daytime, so she said 7,500 kilocycles. She didn't know for sure whether she was going to be flying over the Swan in day or night, so she said 9,000 kilocycles.
The Swan was supposed
halfway
to
up to Honolulu.
Huh?
Halfway
that
up
was
to
north.
Honolulu.
Yeah.
And she didn't know whether she was going to go over it in the daytime or nighttime, so she said, send on 9,000 kilocycles, or if that's not feasible, 900 kilocycles, you know, which is right in the middle of the broadcast band,
which is kind
of stupid, but I don't know whether you could even transmit on that band or not. But regardless of that, but there's a certain logic to those. Now, I have those messages, and I have three different messages sent three different ways, and they all say exactly the same thing, and they were from her.
I didn't get that 9,000 or 900. I don't recall that.
Oh, that was for the Swan.
Yeah, I say I don't and recall seeing her.
There's a certain logic to that. Somebody had sold her a bill of goods on high-frequency direction finding. Somebody who didn't know what they were talking about. It was all theory and not practice. Because you and I both know that direction finding, the lower practically, the better. And the best damn direction finder frequency of all, about 500 kilocycles, you can push your ground way about. But once you get up over 2 megacycles, why direction finding becomes less and less accurate all the time. But she got sold a real bill of goods on this HF direction finding. And that's why she had you on 7,500, because somebody told her, well, 500's no good, that's just for a few miles. That 7,500, you can work 1,000 miles away. Well, it's a great theory, but it doesn't work. Okay, here we are. You sent the weather...
We sent the weather blind.
Did you send it on phone?
Yeah, sure. Oh, absolutely.
And then you sent... When you sent CW, did you send MCW or CW?
Was MCW.
I see. It was a modulated wave.
Yeah,
she wouldn't have to have a BFO then.
No.
No, that's not correct. The T-16, which would be used on 7,500, was incapable of anything except straight A1 transmission.
No. But okay. We sent no weather by key. It was all voice. We knew her capabilities.
Okay. Then at 45...
I don't understand him saying that at all. The logs even showed that they sent it by CW and by voice, but he admits he knew her capabilities would not be able to receive CW, and he said that all weather reports were sent by voice. But in actuality, we know that only those on 3105 could possibly have been sent by voice, and many times the logs that state specifically they were sent CW on 3105. I don't know why the contradiction here, as far as Leo is concerned.
Phone. We'll listen on hour and a half on 3105, says she.
That's right.
Now, Earhart heard on phone. Is that you?
Yeah.
Is that the way you do it?
Yeah.
You know, I can tell who's on watch. Like, Galton has a habit of saying, smoke. When he, no cigs, he says no smoke. So whenever I see no smoke, I know Galton's on
watch. Well, you can tell by the signature. See, mine's, I got a signature here down here. It says LG Valarts off to Galton. Actually, I wrote that. That's my handwriting.
I see. Okay, Earhart heard phone. Now, when you were sitting there with the earphones on, you had the mill right in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
And this was actually done as you heard it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, when I was a radio operator, I was taught that when a message came in, you copied the message. And when the message was finished, you'd look up at the clock to see what time it was, and then you would estimate how long you spent taking the message. So if it was a long message that took, say, 5 minutes, and you looked up the clock and it was 5:20, then you would put down 5:15-20. In other words, it took you from 5:15 to 5:20, you were...
No, we didn't do that.
How did you arrive at the time?
At the completion.
At the completion, okay. Yeah. That's same thing, only you just...
Well, like see, you. Our signals here, if you'll notice, at the start of this thing, I started it at 1900. Watch started at blank blank, 1900. Watch started at blank blank, 1900. And then I make the notation, signals heard logged only. In other words, I'm logging only the signals that I hear. If I don't hear anything, I don't fill up the doggone paper with no sigs, no sigs, no sigs.
Okay.
Do you have 75 MCW? MCW.
Okay.
Yeah, we used no CW with her at all.
Now that is not true, because anything above 4,000. Which includes 6210 and 7500, would have to be straight CW, because that's all the T16 was capable of transmitting, at least to the best of my knowledge.
3105.
453.
Okay, and you... Now, why is that dashed line there?
Because I dashed it out, and I made a mistake, and I dropped it down.
Oh.
That part cloudy was still... That was correct. That part cloudy should not have been crossed out the way it is.
I see.
I just spaced it out like that by mistake.
Okay, you heard Earhart, and all you
that's
got
all I
was
can
the words
was
part
cloudy. That's right.
Okay, and she knew she was on there, but
at
0500 was nothing then. That's
nothing at all.
Okay, at 1518, Earhart unheard.
And that's, you see, she said she was going to listen on the hour and a half hour.
Okay, sent weather
at so
phone key 315, just a little Google loop there, 3035. Then AAAAAAs from NRUI,
that's
2,7500
right.
Kilocycles. You did that at 40.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then no herder setting
no
on
here.
310, no here during, setting on 3105 all times.
Yeah.
Sent weather, code and key 3105 at 0600, 0605.
That's
okay.
Right.
Now, once bearing on 3105 on the hour, all right, once bearing on 3105 kilocycles on hour, we'll whistle in Mike, and that came in at 0614.
Yeah. And actually, here is a key right here. She wanted a bearing on 3105, and she said she wanted it on the hour, and that she would whistle in the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
You notice that's at 0614.
Uh-huh.
And she says, on the hour. And here it was 14 minutes after the hour. 1 minute later, she comes on, and she says, we're about 200 miles out, approximately, and she was not whistling. I put down whistle because she said it was whistling. Actually, it was audible sound. That's what she was doing. She was just...
She wasn't really whistling.
No,
she was humming or...
It was a whistle. It was a whistle I've never heard before. It was actually a... What would you call it?
hum?
No, it wasn't a hum. It was higher than a hum. It was a shrill note. Ah! Like that. That's what she was doing.
She was audibly making a tone then.
Right.
Which really wouldn't have been too bad a deal.
No, we could have handled it.
If you'd had a 3105 direction fighter, you'd have been in business.
We could have handled it, but notice when she did that. 1 minute after she asked on the hour.
Okay. Of course, it isn't really to her. It isn't 14 minutes after the hour. To her, it's 44 minutes after the hour, because she's on you're on 11:30 time, and she's on Greenwich time. Yeah, she was operating on Greenwich time all the time, as would Noonan.
Well, our time wasn't on the half hour. I'll guarantee you.
Yes,
that.
Sir. Your logs. Huh? Your logs say they were at 11:30. It says so right in your logs. You were on plus 11:30. You were Howland Island time, and that's correct for Howland Island. Yeah, you were on a half hour.
No, I don't think so. I'm not going to argue.
No, I'd say, now, Cipriani, he was on 10.5 hours, which is Honolulu time. And he was on Howland Island time, because they were on the same as Howland Island in Honolulu, because they were all,
you
know, they...
Where did you get that?
Huh? Let's see. It's right in his log.
Huh?
Right at the top of the logger. And your logs...
all of the time is computed in zone plus 10.
And a half.
And a half.
Uh-huh. And your logs are all computed at 11 and a half.
In fact, I've got a copy of this log. I know that. I know I've got a copy of this.
So that was one thing that was always confusing when I first started reblogging. And you and her were on different half hours.
Half hour time, apparently. Yeah.
And your ship's logs, the ship's logs show the ship as being on 11 and a half hours.
Well, it doesn't make no difference.
Well, that was very illuminating. It did make a great deal of difference, and I'm surprised at his not having realized it after all these years.
No, it all comes out.
Okay, let's see, is that the end of that tape? Yeah, that's the end of side A of tape number 3. I'll switch over now to side B of tape number 3.
Sparring, that was 0614. Now, it must be daylight by now.
Oh, yeah.
And she says she wants Bering on 3105 on the hour. We'll whistle in Mike at 0614.
And she was coming in good then.
But she didn't do any whistling then. She just said she was going to on the hour. Well, then 1 minute later, she comes in. She
comes
says,
in and starts screaming in the mic or making that
I'm
noise.
About 200 miles up. About 200 miles out, approximate. Is that what it means?
Where am I at here?
06.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She says we're approximately 200 miles out. In fact, I didn't put the approximately in the correct spot. She just said she was approximately 200 miles out, and I just said about 200 miles out approximately. I reversed the English on her. That's all.
And then she made these noise, so you just wrote down whistling, because that's what she'd called it, and the now means that she's doing it at 06:15.
That's right.
Okay.
And I was sitting there sweating blood because I couldn't do it.
Well, you were hoping to Christ that Cipriani was cutting.
Cipriani was on the ball, but...
Yeah. He never even...
She made another... down here at 645, please take a bearing on us and report in a half an hour. I will make a noise in the mic.
All right, well,
and
just
then
a second.
She says, I'm about 100 miles out. Well, look, 100 miles out, and at 615, she said she was 200 miles out.
So she said approximately and about in both cases.
Yeah,
so that's...
remember this. 200 miles an hour.
All right, but just a moment now. Let's back up, and we'll. Yeah, and then you sent A's on 7500, listening through on 3105 at 0630. Then A's again, NRUI at 35. Call Earhart on 3105 voice at 36, and then A's again, NRUI 2. Please acknowledge on 3105 at 41. Then at 45. Now, bless her heart. Now, she came in at 45, and she said, please take bearing on us and report in half hour.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I will make noise in Mike. Well, that's her. She quit calling it whistling, and that's...
Well, she said she'd make a noise in the mic, and that's what she...
That's what she was doing. She even said. Quit calling it whistling when she heard what it... After
well,
a while.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm about 100 miles out. We are about, or do you remember?
Well, she says about 100 miles out.
Okay. Now, let me point out something to you. To her credit, in a way... She's reporting on her schedule of 15 and 45. And at 6:15, she just says we're approximately 200 miles out.
Yeah.
And at 6:45, she says we're approximately 100 miles out. And
yeah.
She's right on schedule. She's sending all this stuff in the blind. Now, you know how it is to send stuff in the blind. You just don't know whether anybody's hearing you or not. You
know
and
that.
It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually... she stuck, you know, she really stuck to her schedules pretty good, everything considered, considering that she never knew whether anybody was hearing her, whether it was doing any damn good, and she
yeah,
was busy with other things. You know, she's flying the airplane.
Why don't you study the number of times that she actually asked us to go ahead or something like that?
Well, yeah.
There's the
point. Of course,
there's
no radio operator. But okay, please take bearing on us and report in half
another
hour.
Another thing. Take bearing on us and report in a half an hour.
Right.
Well, why do that?
I don't think she meant in half hour. She was expecting you to transmit on the hour and a half hour, and the half hour is coming up to her. See,
yeah.
Because she's a half hour off of you.
Yeah.
It makes a little more sense that way.
What do you mean, a half hour?
Well, on the half hour, instead of in half hour, on half hour.
On the half hour, I take it this way. At 4 o'clock, at 4:30, at 5, at 5:30, at 6,
right.
At 6:30, and so forth. Every 30 minutes.
Right.
That's on the half hour.
Right.
On the hour, then it's 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. That's
was, see,
I
she
look.
Thought it was coming up on the half hour then. Because she's on
Greenwich
right. time.
Here's another thing you say, a poor idea of radio operators. If you take a radio bearing, you get the bearing back like that. You don't wait no 30 minutes to give it back to
well,
them.
Well, no, that's true.
See the point?
Yeah, it's weird. Okay, then A's on 7500 to 705.
Well, the point on that is that they couldn't, they heard, thought they heard, whatever, however you want to put it, mindset or whatever, in a half hour when she met on the half hour, which was the next scheduled time that she was supposed to listen for them. And frankly... I think Amelia, from her point of view, from where she stood and what she knew, that was right on. And I can see Leo's point of view. They just forgot that she was on Greenwich and they were on the half hour. And it obviously or evidently it never occurred to Leo, or if it had, he'd forgot about it. Okay, we'll continue on.
He's at 3105.
He just blew the air loose on those A's.
A's on 7500. A's on 3105. And then, see, here she is more or less on schedule again at 7:16 to 18. Phone to Earhart. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, phone to Earhart. This is you talking. On phone, you called Earhart and you said, cannot take bearing on 3105 very good. Please send on 500, or do you wish take bearing on us? Go ahead, please, but
no
answer. I'm sorry, she wasn't on schedule. She never showed up. Now, she didn't show up on that schedule at all. Okay. Because she's coming up on the island now. Okay, KHUQ, Earhart, Minora, Itasca. What is this A-S?
A's.
Oh, A's, I see. Go ahead, 3105, unanswered.
See, now Galton is on. He,
oh, yeah, now
instead of putting A-A-A, he put A-S. That means
okay.
More A's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Earhart from Itasca, please go ahead on 3105, unanswered. Chief radio man... What does that DC mean?
Don't let it worry you. That's me. DC is my sign.
I see.
Every operator has a sign, not necessarily his initials.
I see. And yours is DC.
Mine is DC.
Okay. I did, that's in the other logs, and I couldn't figure out.
Galton's was BG.
And I tried to, he was BG.
That's right.
Write these down in the log.
Galton's was BG, O'Hare was TO, Cipriani, I don't know. Thompson.
Bell Arts was D.C. You know, I was trying to figure out whether he switched to some kind of batteries or something. No. D.C. now
yeah,
on,
know
you
that.
Know.
I'll tell you how that started. D.C., on messages, you'll see the time of dispatch or received slant D.C. That means I received it.
I see.
Or centered. But when I first went into service, the one of the radio men's was Alton Case, A.C., and he used AC for his sign. Well, they didn't like LB, my initials, on there. It was too long. They says, you ought to use something simpler. So I says, all right, I'll be the opposite. Make mine DC instead of AC.
What, do you remember Thompson's?
T.O. T.O. was Thompson's.
That was O'Hare.
No, that's O'Hare.
Well,
I
can find it in the logs, probably.
I got it in here someplace.
Okay. These are personal...
signs, S-I-N-E. It's a S-I-N-E, not S-I-G-N.
Okay. But I couldn't make heads or tails.
Yeah.
I couldn't make heads or tails out of that. What DC was on... Okay, Chief NDC now on he dropped down here now on the DF on the NRU Itasca's main DF 500. You evidently went up to the bridge.
Yeah.
Okay, then at 26 to 29 he called NRU.
Well, see, I went up on the bridge just as a insurance. We had no idea in the world if she could get on 500 or not. So I went up there and wound it up and warmed it up and everything was standing by in case that I was right on there. If she'd come on, I'd have had her in 30 seconds.
She just,
well, there was nothing there to come on.
Okay, then, Earhart from Itasca, please Y our SIGs on key, please. Please
Where
Y.
Are you at? What time?
At 07:30. Please.
Oh. That's from the Itasca.
Yeah, but...
All right, I'll read that to you.
Okay.
K-H-A-Q-Q, from Itasca. Please acknowledge our signals on key. Please. And we were just pleading with her. Please, please.
Now, that's a 30, and she should have been listening.
Please, Y is acknowledge.
Yeah.
That's one of the signals.
What
Y means to acknowledge.
What, and when he's on phone, does he use FM, and when he's on key, he use DE?
Not necessarily.
Because I notice he mixes it in, you know.
Yeah, no, not necessarily.
And when he uses FM Itasca instead of DENRUI.
Yeah.
And so probably, when he is doing that, that's probably his way of indicating it's on either phone or
yeah,
he could MC
do that. Yeah, he could do that.
Okay, and do you know on 7,500 kilocycles, he never uses voice on 7,500, but you're sure...
He didn't use voice on 75, but we could have.
I see.
We were scheduled...
To send A's, right.
We were scheduled to use A's on 7,500.
Okay.
I'll dig that out for you. Go ahead.
You had the capability, but you didn't use 70.
If necessary, yes.
Okay.
But there was nothing in the schedules by any stretch of the imagination for that. Go ahead.
Okay, here it's 741. KHAQQ, menu RUI, A's on 3105. At 42,
yeah.
Earhart calling Itasca.
Yeah.
We must be on you, but cannot see you. But gas is running low. Been unable to reach you by radio. We are flying at 1,000 feet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, were you up in the... Did you hear that message?
I was down in the radio room because I didn't stay on the bridge very doggone long.
You sent Thompson up there, I think.
No.
No?
I don't know if I don't remember if I did or not. I know it was a washout because there was no indication that she was going to do anything on 500, so I left the DF hot, you know, and that's it. Then. That's it.
Okay. But Gaston, and so you do remember hearing that, and so that's an awful lot to copy down, you know, and he's copied it down here in plain language, you know. We must be on you, but cannot see you. But gas is running low, been unable to reach you by radio. We are flying at 1,000 feet.
Well, that those things there, actually, when she got into about that area, BGTO, doggone it. Now, you see, here it is.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Wait, I just wanted to confirm something that I told you before, something I didn't notice. About Thompson not being a real reliable man. I couldn't actually rely on him. If I told him to do something, I'd have to sit on his neck to see that he did it. I made these here things up. I sign it. BG signs it. TO signs it.
Thompson didn't sign it.
Thompson didn't sign it. He was just that sort of a character. He's the only man I ever put down for a court-martial in my service.
Now, that message was very, very critical.
Which one's that? This,
we must be on you, cannot see you, but gas is running low. Been unable to reach you by radio. We are flying at 1,000 feet. Well, it's obvious her receiver is out.
Well, Harry says his receiver was good. Or her equipment was good.
Well, when it left, but, you know, you can go out anytime, especially aircraft stuff. It was all pretty experimental stuff anyway.
Well, her receiver was good because she heard them just a little later on 7500. I just wanted to throw that in there right now so it wouldn't be misled in the tape by my statement at that time.
Sure that,
Okay, then the next thing is, KHQQ from NER, your message, Roger, our message, Roger, QSA5, RAS, Roger, A's, 500 and 3105. Go ahead, unanswered.
In other words, we acknowledged on everything we could. We had everything blasting on her.
Okay.
And it appeared to us that she just wasn't even trying to hear us.
Well, if her receiver's dead, that's the way it would appear to you.
Well, she didn't say that, see?
Well, but she didn't know it. Maybe she was hearing static all the time, just never, but, you know, her receiver was...
Well, she should have said, go ahead, or something like that, you know, and then tried to make contact, but there was no apparent contact.
Of course, that could be explained if they weren't sending out any signal themselves on 3105.
Okay, then. KHAQQ from Itasca, your message... Your message, okay. Please acknowledge with A3 voice 3105. A's from NRUI on A2. Now A2 is MCW.
Where are you?
That's at 4950 and.
Yeah, I missed a place there. A's, from my task to A2, yeah.
Okay, Earhart calling. I hear she's back again now. This is at. Is this at 58? That she's
That's
back
right.
now?
That's right.
Okay. Now, she was with us at 42, and now 16 minutes later, here she is again.
Yeah.
Earhart calling Itasca. We are circling, but cannot hear you. Go ahead on 6500 with a long count.
How much? Go ahead on what?
On 7500.
Oh, you said 6500.
Oh, I'm sorry. With a long count, either now or on the scheduled time on half hour. See, which is only 2 minutes away. Now, she makes a little more sense there now. KHAQQ is S5 on voice.
On A3.
Okay, Earhart from NRUAI, series of A's on 7500. Go ahead on 3105. Earhart calling Itasca. Here she acknowledged. We received your SIGs, but unable to get a minimum. Please take bearing on us and answer 3105 with voice. Boy, you were... This is the only chance you ever had, wasn't it?
That's right.
NRUI from KHAQQ, long dashes on 3105.
I can't understand.
Why did he go back to 3105?
I can't understand. The only thing I've thought of that, she called the ITASCA. We received your signals, but unable to get a minimum. Well, she must have heard the signals on 7500, but apparently she was not good on the receiver, the direction finder, and we were apparently overloading the front end.
Well, I tell you, there's another theory behind this.
I mean, we was too, the signal was...
I'll know a lot more about this in a couple, 3 months, but I have reason to believe that her direction finder was changed, and she didn't have the direction finder on there that everybody thought she had. But evidently, the direction finder she had was incapable of taking bearings above about 4.8 megacycles, but evidently she didn't know it.
Wow.
It had a band but that went up to 10 megacycles, but it was just a receiving band. You couldn't take bearings because the loop impedance wouldn't work up those high frequencies. But she evidently thought it would. Now, that's just a theory. Like I said, in a couple, 3 months, I'll know more about this.
Well, what I thought was that, you know, when you get a real close to a station and try to take a bearing on it, if you don't know how to use that direction finder, you're lost.
You can't get a null. It just,
that's
it
right.
Just blanks out the null.
There's nothing there. You've got to practically kill that signal before you can get that little bit of a null in.
That's what we used to do. You know, we used to have the tuning on the loop thing where we would want a good minimum signal, a big dip in the signal strength,
yeah.
And we would detune the thing, so to speak, until we got that.
Well, you just knocked the gain down.
But I don't understand something here, Leo. She called on 3105 and said, go ahead on 7500 on the scheduled time on half hour, which is 2 minutes from now.
Yeah.
Now, she's done a pretty good. Now, he comes back and sends a series of A's on 7500 on the hour, or between 58 and on the hour, and says, go ahead on 3105. And she comes back and she says, we received your signals. Now, she only received on 7500 because that's what he was transmitting on.
Well, here, she says, we received your signals but cannot get a minimum.
Right.
If she couldn't get a minimum, she was on 7500 on her direction finder.
Right. But look at this now. We received your signals, but unable to get a minimum. Please take bearing on us, which you couldn't do, and answer 3105 with voice. NRU from KHAQ, long dashes, on 3105. But see,
that's all we
if he'd have come back on 7500, you might have established some sort of two-way communication with her hearing you on 7500, and you hearing her on 3105, but he missed his chance at this point.
Well, that's all well and good, except she asked them to come back on 3105 with voice. And they did come back on 3105, evidently with key, long dashes. It sounds like a key, but... And if she didn't have her BFO on, why... She wouldn't have heard them, and if she's listening for voice, she'd had her BFO off. It just seems like they weren't putting out on 3105, or for some reason she wasn't receiving on 3105, yet her receiver was working on 7500, and no reason to believe it wouldn't be working on 3105. I don't know. Here we go again. I'll continue.
I'm not taking anybody. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not... It's the only chance I saw that we ever had to establish any kind of two-way communication.
Believe me, we was trying everything we...
Well, it's obvious.
Knew.
All must have been hoarse for calling her.
We tried stuff that actually is not even on
heard
the blog.
I see.
Really, I mean it. We was frantic.
But that's the only time she ever acknowledged
that's it. That's right, that's
that
right.
She heard you. And she heard you on 7500. Her 3105 receiver must have been better than a doornail.
She didn't say... she didn't actually say 7500, do... We received your signals, but she didn't say where.
Well, she asked you to call 58, and he's transmitting up here at 59 on 7500.
Yeah,
so that had to be where
Well,
where she heard it. I mean, well, it doesn't have to be, but it sounds logical. Is that the way you felt at the time, that this was the only break you had, that it was at that moment, it was a tender little thread and it broke, and that was
We were just nuts that she didn't tell us to go ahead on this or go ahead on that. We would have did what she wanted, because she's the king.
If she would have just said, if you receive me, send 3 dashes.
Anything.
Send
anything.
SOS by now.
Anything.
Christ.
Anything.
We're all in deep trouble. But she wasn't smart enough to do that.
Well, I won't say that she wasn't smart enough. I'll just say that...
she wasn't experienced enough to...
That's what I was
...to
say.
Realize that you got to be clever now, lady, to pull this one out.
That's what I would say.
But, you know, even if she had, it wouldn't have any good, because she couldn't take a bearing on you, and you couldn't take a bearing on her. About the only thing you could have done is to tell her to get down to 500 kcs, either transmit or take bearings on us, and we'll transmit on 500 kcs.
And then how could we give her the information? The only thing we're going to do is know which way to go to find her.
Okay, let's get back down here now. That was seems like the only chance she had. That was at 0800. Now, her signals, were they loud and clear then? Do you remember?
Oh, man, yes.
All that whole time, these signals are
moving
in. The
whole time, absolutely. From way back, where was it? I don't know. But for the last 2-3 hours there, she was really boiling in. When she come in here, when she said she was 100 miles out, boy, she was plenty loud then.
She was loud then, too.
Oh, yes.
But when she was 200 miles out, she was pretty
Well,
pretty
weak. she was still readable. Very good and readable. Very good.
But about S3 or something like that.
I wouldn't
want to put an S on it.
2, 6, or 8, you know. But she was still good.
Okay, then at 04, you sent a message to NRUI-2, which I take it is
NRUI-2, that's Holland Island.
Yeah. DPE.
Yeah, let me read that.
Okay.
NRUI-2, giving Tom O'Hare the dope that no signals on 3105 and impossible to work. Wait a minute. Now I'm lost here.
Yeah, this NRUI-2 calls you.
Impossible Tom O'Hare work. In other words, Tom O'Hare could not work because we dominated the frequencies. What I mean, Tom O'Hare was working on that other frequency, so to speak. And we had him muzzled, told him to lay off of all his transmissions and everything else because we was concentrating on Earhart.
I'm going to interject there. I don't think that's correct. It's Tom O'Hare giving dope, and he got back that it was impossible to work. The last two is a two. It's not Tom O'Hare.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Earhart from Itasca, your SIGs received okay. We're unable to hear you. Take a bearing, and in practice, take a bearing on 3105. Now, you knew that that direction finder on Howland by now wasn't working.
No, we didn't. As I say, I did not know that was haywire until actually it came back to the ship about 2 weeks later.
I see. In impractical to take a bearing on 3105, your voice...
We're speaking there on the ship. It was being impractical.
Take a bearing on 3105, your voice. How do you get... What does TT mean?
That.
How do you get that?
That.
Go ahead.
How do you get that? Go ahead.
Earhart from... Go ahead on 3105, 500K, 7500. You were desperately trying to get in contact.
How do you get that? That is TT. How do you get that?
I see.
That's a brief... Phillips code.
Oh, I see. Howland giving O'Hare dope that no signals on 3105 and impossible to work it.
Where are you at there?
I'm back at 804. I take it that this message, 0804.
NRUI-2, that's Howland.
Yeah, Howland giving dope to O'Hare. Giving No, giving, yeah, giving O'Hare dope that no SIGs on 3105, he isn't hearing her, and impossible to work it. Impossible to work a Tasca?
That looks ITA. I don't know what that is.
And a slant and a Roger. Anyway, that message came from...
Okay, that's work it and then AR, meaning end of transmission. The A was spaced out wrong.
Am I reading that right? Howland giving dope to...
Yeah.
Giving O'Hare to... dope.
Yeah.
That no SIGs on 3105 and impossible to work.
Okay, that's the end of tape number 2, review of communications. I'll have to put on tape number 3 now. Elgin M. Long, and this was completed on February 8, 1978.